Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. Coming up on 12 minutes after 9 o'clock, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. We begin our program, hour number one, we like to call it, with the Roundtable panel. And today on the program, WAMC's Alan Shartok, University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo, and Stu Shinsky, executive editor of the Poughkeepsie Journal. Now, you can join us not over the phone, but via email, and we love your comments. If you keep them fairly brief, you have a shot at having them read. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. I'm stalling a bit because the panel is...
We're here.
You made it. Rosemary snuck in, and the media project just ended. So Stu Shinsky and Alan Shartok are here. Good morning, all.
Good morning, all.
Nice to have you here.
Hi, big boy.
Nice to be back with all of you.
Big boy. That's Ray.
What?
That's not big boy. That's Ray.
Well, he calls us all that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well.
Mm. Yeah. Except the little boys.
He doesn't call me that.
No. He calls you... He calls you ma'am.
Don't tell
him. Let's go to a commercial.
commercial? What? Well, we have to start the show with a little lip service to you, Albany. Don't know if you saw it, but Albany, this is from the New York Times, mind you. Albany again has Stony Brook's number as winning streak ends at 18. You, Albany, beat Stony Brook handily last night, 82-70. Big news.
That's very important.
I know it is. It is important.
Rosemary teaches there. I taught there.
We're rooting for them. They did great.
Well, if you recall last year, there was that phenomenal finish.
Yep.
When Hooley sunk the three-pointer to beat Stony Brook. Now Stony Brook had a streak of 18 wins in a row. UAlbany seems to be that team that is the thorn in the side of Stony Brook, and it's very exciting. And Ian Pickus, who I think has season tickets, was there and
another UAlbany.
He has heard a crowd like that at a UAlbany game, if ever, and certainly in some time. So that's big news.
Rosemary had, 18 points, 10 rebounds?
Mm-hmm.
Double-double? Good for you.
I know. I was not there, but I was at a meeting, and all the UAlbany alum were rushing to the game, so it was the fastest, most efficient meeting I've ever been to. They were all on the way to
see
the game.
Very exciting. And, of course, the New York Times article is 88% Stony Brook coverage, and just a little mention of Albany. Albany won the game.
Spoiler.
So, and again, the email address, if you want to complain, is roundtable@wamc.org.
We don't have a medical school.
No.
Don't you see?
Stony Brook
has a medical school.
That's right.
And they have a great name, the Sea Wolves. That's a great team name, you know?
Yeah, it is a good name.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's deprecational of the Wolves.
Oh, you think so?
Sure.
Well, I'm sure we'll have some people listening who will agree with you on that.
And they're too close to Long Island Sound, so maybe they should be the Sound Wolves, not the Sea Wolves. But that's a geographic question.
That's a good one, Stu. We're glad you came. President Obama is expected to announce today that he'll be traveling to Cuba in mid-March. It would be the first time in nearly nine decades since Cal Coolidge that a U.S. president has visited
Silent
Cuba.
Cal.
The stop would be part of a broader trip to Latin America. This would be fairly large news, I think.
I think it's great.
Do you want to expound on that?
Sure. Here's this little island 90 miles off of the coast of Florida. It has a communist nomenclature. The Castro brothers are not saints. That is for sure. They have put people in prison. That is for sure, who don't deserve to be there. But we deal with people like that all over the world.
Yep.
And so the idea that we would take this place and make this example of it, we have lots of Cuban people who will go back. Roselle, my wife, has been there twice. It is an extraordinary place. It's almost as if it has been, it's a museum, been preserved in time because of our scandalous behavior towards them.
Well, that will all end soon.
Well, that's one of the downsides of it. I'll tell you right now, because, the Americans will go over there, they'll follow the Swedes, I think it's the others who are building big hotels, and then, you see all these cars that have been preserved for a million years and everything else in a culture that is so great. There will be a problem when imperialism begins again.
Well, I've been to Cuba recently, I guess illegally under our policy, and I think this is the end of a really backward and ineffective policy. We've given far more power and strength to the Castros than they would otherwise have had by our recalcitrants. So I think it's great that he's going. I hope Congress will follow through and reduce and release, I guess, some of the strictures, the trade restrictions, which are the real, these are the real problems, and the president can't do that by executive order.
So are you of the you say that the blockade in essence gave much more power to Castro?
Oh yeah.
And are then you
he became
in line-
a hero. That was his line when there was a communist bloc. He became their darling because he was a way to needle. He was the UAlbany to Stony Brook, a way to needle the United States. And even now, with the fall of communism, he's still managed to rally people around the idea that, hey, I stood up to the big boys and look, I've really done pretty well against
him. So are you in line then with the president's line that by increasing our trade and by increasing our presence, that is the true way to increase human rights and the flow of dissent in Cuba?
Absolutely. Who else does the United States have close contact, have friendly relations with where there's problems like this? It's
look,
it's
who's
totally
worse,
away.
The Castro brothers or Putin? And we don't say you can't deal with Putin in this country. Not only that, but all of these Republican right-wingers who are running for president of the United States were quick to get on to the anti-Castro, anti-Cuba, anti-president thing.
And
therefore, I think that I think it's prima facie evidence that the president's right.
Well, Rubio has a reason, right? Being of Cuban descent.
Well,
that's
that
interesting
that
you say that. It's interesting. You better watch what you say, Raymond, because I have to tell you that the young Cubans have no problem with this. It's the older ones, and Rubio, of course, is not old, but he comes out of that group. So we're seeing that in Florida now, in presidential elections and other places where the younger Cubans are for this normalization, as I understand it.
Well, we've had this policy since 1959. There has been no improvement. Time to change the policy. And young people see that, and some of us old people see it as well.
The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org.
Who's old?
.org.
You.
I just want to know when the cigars will start flowing back.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to Canada to get the cigars.
Somehow they seem to keep arriving in the United States one way.
Isn't it amazing?
One way or t'other.
Every now and then you get a taste.
You know, the trade embargo is such an important thing because when you think about Cuba, the biggest export they've had really has been baseball players.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, that's it. And this is such an important turning point if he goes, if Obama goes. And what will Congress do and in what time frame?
And maybe he'll bring some baseball players back with him.
And
actually, there was a defection
that's
not
very
too
funny,
long ago.
That is very funny that you said that. I want you to know I'm a great believer in your sense of humor.
I see.
And I just think you deserve a lot of credit for that. Oh, maybe you'll bring
some
back.
You know, on a serious note, Cuba has done two things really well, and maybe the U.S. could learn from that. They have a terrific healthcare system. They export doctors to disasters all over the hemisphere. And they also have universal education. Despite lots of other shortages and problems, the government has maintained wonderful control and done a great job with two essential services to citizens.
Well, we shall see. There are airlines lining up and bidding on the rights to the flights, I think 20 a day.
Tourism packages.
I want to go.
This is a massive commerce opportunity for the United States. Frankly.
And apparently, according to the New York Times article, really the red tape and, of course, the entrepreneurs in Cuba, such as they are, always complain about the tremendous red tape in Cuba and in doing something independent there. But the people on this side say, well, the real obstacle here is the red tape on the U.S. side.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we heard from Bob. I just want you to know.
Oh, hi, Bob.
He says, I visited Cuba in October and can only applaud Obama's moves to end the embargo. The Cuban people are desperate for a decent life, and it can only come through such a move. Today, there are virtually no common consumer goods available to ordinary Cubans. Once these start to flow and everything will change and the strength of government's daily doses of revolutionary propaganda will fade away. Well, I think that's already happening to some degree. You take a look at the Castro brothers in the old days. They were always in military uniforms with beards and the rest of it. You take a look at Raul now, and he's dressed in a business suit and clean shaven. I think you already see the genesis of how all of this is changing.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, they're 100 years old. Mostly they're in pajamas and tracksuits.
I love running. Okay, all right.
Well, okay. So,
it's roundtable at WAMC, though.
Yeah, all the squares at the roundtable are here, all your friends. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Oh, that's nice. That's the roundtable, 9:20. Just listen, you know, for the bumper music. Come for the panel, listen for the bumper music. It's 9:22, and the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. Rosemary Armeo is back. We're very excited. Stu Shinsky shows up once every week or two, a couple weeks, right?
We'd like him here every day. And when they invent that machine...
That's not what you said when he leaves.
No, that's not true.
No?
No, I love Stu.
Oh, I'm thinking about Ira.
No. Oh, will you please stop trying to make as much trouble as you possibly can?
Okay, all right, sir.
Yeah. And Shinsky is going to be here a lot more when they figure out, like in the Spock movies, how to move him up here corpuscle by corpuscle in a few seconds.
Beam him up, you mean?
If I could email myself here, I'd do it.
Yeah.
You know, his ears are a little pointy. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
How do you see them? And his hair is all over them.
So we have email at roundtable@wamc.org. And boy, we love your letters, even when they take us to task. And I believe we have a letter that takes us to task.
Well, we have a couple.
That's good.
One is I have one here from Joel, who writes quite often. It says, I don't have a problem with Obama going to Cuba. But missing Justice Scalia's funeral is mildly disturbing. Is this true?
Well, I think this makes a point, right? But the funeral's not, he's not going till March.
Who's not going to?
Oh, the president's not going.
It hasn't even been announced.
The funeral must be sooner than that.
Yeah. Well, you know,
he's lying in repose at the.
He is.
Well, people in my religious denomination, generally the rule is 24 hours and in the ground.
Slap in the ground as fast as possible.
Yeah.
He's not Jewish.
Store in a cool, dry place.
And never open open caskets. Usually, you know.
We Italians go for that.
Never see an open casket.
What? Open caskets, lots of mourning.
I don't like the open caskets.
Lying in repose a long time.
It's bad for the children. The last image you get is of a corpse. Come on, give me a break.
They have to know.
I'm with you.
Okay, so we agree on that.
We used to be healthier in our views on death, had the body lie at home, in state. Children saw it. Life and death are one of the same thing. I think we need to get back to that.
You are such a non-traditionalist in so many ways, and yet this surprises me.
No,
you're wrong.
The idea of separating death from life is modern. I'm the traditionalist.
So what, you want to leave a dead body lying around for an hour, a couple hours?
I think you missed the point. I had a very good friend who died, a senior journalist here in our area. That's all I'm going to say. And I went rushing into the visiting hours, and there was his wife, and says, "Don't look in there." He didn't look anything like
that. See, that's the thing.
Oh, I know. And Italian funerals are going. They go, "Oh, he looks great. Oh,
yeah,
he hasn't looked that good in
20
years."
Sonny Corleone. I mean, he used all his powers and everything was fine. He looked great.
Final respects. It's just like all the flack we're getting about saying bad things about Justice Scalia now. It's like after death, you forget. You're supposed to forget all the bad things.
Oh, it's a shame you weren't here for that.
I know.
You may have.
I got in trouble on Facebook. I wrote immediately when I heard. I wrote something along the lines of, "Ding dong, the wicked warlord is dead," and immediately heard from a friend who said, "Rosemary, you're giving the idea that that's how liberals are. You need to be." And he was right.
I took it down.
I took it down. And then I saw someone else, lots actually, saying virtually the same thing, and pointing out that he did some very bad things.
He hurt people. He did. And as I have said all along, you can't say anything about a bad person on their way out. It's regarded as being not fair or not good. They can't fight back, you know, all the rest of it. But look, if you take a look at what Scalia was able to do to this country,
and
the people he was able to cause pain to, particularly those in need.
On the other hand, look, he led a storied, amazing life for almost 80 years, died in his sleep. He didn't have it so bad. Why do we have to say that?
Well, died in his sleep.
Allegedly died in his sleep.
Yeah. Depending on whether you're
talking. Pillow controversy.
Whether you're talking to the conspiratorialist nuts who are out there saying, you know, the chemtrails are this and Scalia was buried with it. What? Did I say
you
something?
You made a chemtrail reference. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. No, don't do that. Every time we do a Vox Pop and chemtrails come up, it becomes a real topic.
It comes around to hit you.
Yeah.
You're right.
So are we good with the letters? We have more.
No, there are many more letters. Yay, Rosemary. Viva Italiano, my darling. Good point. You're great.
What was her point?
About the about the death.
Putting bodies death on display.
Yeah. They're not on display. They're in their wax home, museum, surrounded by their loved ones and lots of flowers.
You know, when Alan kicks, let's have him lie in repose in Studio A for a couple of roundtable panels just for old times.
You're not doing that for Alan when his time comes years from now? Yeah, Studio
A? That's a very interesting assumption on Ray's part.
Bobbleheads all around.
when Alan kicks,
I knew he'd take that.
We'll all be here, and he'll be dead.
Next to a giant lockbox.
I'm not sure that's exactly right.
You know what, Stu? We'll bury him in a lockbox. That's a good idea. Oh, somebody's actually calling. Don't call on the Vox Pop line.
Yeah,
I was only kidding,
that.
Boys and girls. Yeah. It's like soupy sales.
Right, right. Robert says, Denise says, on the other hand, Rosemary couldn't be more wrong about the quality of Cuba's healthcare system. We brought medical supplies with us to Cuba and visited rural clinics and a pediatric cancer ward in Havana to drop them off. These places were virtually devoid of basic supplies and equipment. The director of the children's hospital didn't even have a complete computer in his office, just a pad and pens. Cuban doctors make $50 a month also fleeing to the U.S. in droves.
Well, that's absolutely true. Supplies are in dire bad conditions, but that's because of the trade embargo, not because of bad training.
But their model,
medical.
But
their model is good. Yeah, exactly.
That's
exactly
right. And Jerry says, yes, indeed. Should we support opening with Cuba, a country which keeps people in jail without cause? Of course not. One Cuban jail, Guantanamo.
Two.
Ouch, man.
Joel says, we did that already. We did Joel already. Okay, and Rich says, Republican candidates beating the anti-Cuba, anti-Obama drum. If Obama cured cancer, conservatives would cry, foul.
Well, let's see him do it.
Lisa says, Rosemary is right. The way we separate death in this country is terrible.
Oh, come on.
It's important that people understand that everyone dies and that we are not immortal.
We get it. We
Maybe
get that you're dying.
That would help how we think of the end of life care in this country. That's from Lisa.
All right. Well, okay.
Ooh, I wonder if that's my sister. She's right.
Okay.
I have a sister, Lisa, who's in health care.
I'll be dipped. The email address is roundtable at WAMC.org. Boy, we're off to a flying start. Let's take a break for news, and maybe it'll get better in the second.
Maybe not.
Forget it. It's the Roundtable on WAMC, 9:33 on a Thursday morning. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. Ray Graff in for Joe. Alan is here. Rosemary is here. Stu is here. Stu, of course, Stu Shinsky, executive editor of the Poughkeepsie Journal. What's new in the old paper?
Well, we have lots of stuff going on. We have actually a very sad story today. We had a police officer killed in the line of duty 5 years ago today. Oh. First one in the city of Poughkeepsie history, and there's a lot of observances for John Falcone. That's a very big story
that
today.
That was a sad story.
Yes, yeah.
Apple, we've been... Rosemary, you missed a couple of shows. You've been out on one of your vacations. And
I have nothing else to do but be on this show talking to you.
Well, you know, hearing from people on the street, they think that this is your number one job. I mean, you're very famous.
No,
in the newsroom.
I think you're right, Ray.
Isn't it true?
Not only that, but I think, Rosemary plays fast and loose with us by disappearing
for long
periods of time and leaving us to try to fill the void that she has created when she leaves.
And we mutter about it often. Like, oh, she's done it again.
Who does she think she
is? I believe I'm getting ammunition for my next salary negotiation here.
And well, you should.
I'd love to be at that
SUNY
meeting.
At SUNY, where the value of Rosemary at SUNY is just... I mean, think of all the people we have made famous here at WAMC. Stu Shinsky, who knew him before?
No,
true. Rosemary Armeo, forget it. Libby Pose, forget it. Rex Smith, he was a mild-mannered, editor of a paper.
Daily Metropolitan Newspaper.
Yeah, right. But now, all these people are very, very famous, and they tend not to give us our due.
Give you your due, and I think that's what it boils down to.
I think that's
true. Beholden enough to you for making them what they are.
Exactly right.
It makes you
sick,
doesn't
it? I'm so glad you understand that.
So anyway, what you missed while you were on one of your vacations is this whole business with Apple.
Yes, I am.
Now, you're familiar with the story.
Yes, I am.
Interesting piece in the New York Times. Apple's stance highlights a more confrontational tech industry. The battle between Apple and law enforcement officials over unlocking a terrorist smartphone is the culmination of a slow turning of the tables between the technology industry and the United States government. Skipping a paragraph in this New York Times piece, but if the confrontation has crystallized in this latest battle, it may already be heading toward a predictable conclusion. In the long run, the tech companies are destined to emerge victorious.
Okay, you want me to respond to this?
Well, you have not weighed in on this.
I have not weighed
in. Because we don't know if you'll be here tomorrow.
I will be here tomorrow.
Looking less likely.
God willing.
All right.
Unless I'm laid out in my living room. I think Apple is taking a good stand. I think this is smart to be figuring out what we want to do on privacy. I think this case, they will lose. That phone needs to be unlocked. I think there's a clear reason for it. The government has a specific and very limited purpose to look at that particular phone. But Apple has chosen to make this the place where they're going to take a stand on. We have to protect privacy. We won't sell phones if we don't. Our people won't trust us. I don't trust them anyway.
Exactly.
Encryption. Is a joke, you know. Obviously, there's the government knows how to get into this phone too. By the way,
this was my point.
The FBI has admitted that it can get into at least some operating systems.
This is the 5C iPhone,
right, exactly.
Allegedly more secure. Yeah. However, the point is made in another article. You know, I think this might have been in,
the BuzzFeed article?
Yeah.
That they've unlocked 70 previous phones. This is not new discussion.
It's crazy.
This is not new at all. This is all about precedent. This is all about Apple throwing its power around, saying, we don't want to do this. Why should we do this? We'll have to do it again.
It's protecting
I think it's good that they're doing that. Mm-hmm. And for business reasons, yes, it's good, but also for us as citizens who want our privacy protected. I believe the government should be able to get into phones when there is a clear reason. Bernardino phones feels like one of those.
The problem
is, why not have a real strong legal case that you can only require us to do this right under
but the
a
problem
judge.
Is there are these AK,
remember NSA
these,
that's
yeah there are
why
these AKing judges who say once the slippery slope is anything goes.
The precedent, yeah.
Ironic. What if it goes to the Supreme Court? 4-4 Supreme Court. What do we have? I actually think the government would win with one justice missing.
You know, Apple could very easily unlock this phone. Okay.
And so could the government.
So could the government. And you know what? If Apple wanted to increase the security, all they need to do is send out an update, because they seem to update everything 33 times an hour. They should be able to increase the security on these phones with something more complex, shouldn't they?
Well, I think that's the point of the New York Times assertion that the tech companies will win because the next version of the phone can be...
just be a little tougher crack.
There's nothing stopping the tech companies from increasing the security.
Right. Yeah.
Now, this goes back at least 20 years. There was PGP, pretty good privacy, on computers. Mm-hmm. And there was the same argument from the feds and from states that we need to get into this.
They want it to be as easy as possible, and Apple's making it harder, and therefore I'm on Apple's side.
But
is
this not a cynical ploy to keep their... in other words, they've done this so many times before. Now it is in the wake of Snowden and the revelations about how the tech companies were in bed with the intelligence industry. Isn't this just a ploy to show their shareholders that, hey, we're all about privacy and our
customers
first?
Do I think they
first?
Should have done it earlier before they gave up information, like 70 times previously to the government? Yes. But I'm just glad they're doing it now. I think that the interests of the company happen to be also good for customers.
But yet yourself said you think that this phone should be open. How do you...
This particular phone, the San Bernardino phone, they could go to a judge and any judge in the country...
Yeah. And they got the order.
And they're going to fight it all the way to probably the Supreme Court, because they want a clear outline of when they have to give up and when they can protect privacy.
And yet when people like Rosemary and Alan say, look, the government may have a compelling case here.
Right.
These are people who are dealing perhaps with people abroad who are trying to kill Americans.
Right.
And we need to know about that.
Right.
Yeah, this is the contemporary version of what you used to watch on Dragnet with with search warrants and tapping telephone lines and busting down the door of the apartment to get into the suspect's lair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just, they can't broach the technology so easily as knocking down the door with a battering ram. So now they have to do this. This is the modern version of what Jack Webb used to do on Dragnet.
Am I the only one who thinks, as a matter of course, that someone somewhere is listening on my phone when I'm on the phone?
Don't forget, this government,
presumably Roselle.
when
you're talking to her.
Yeah.
Didn't we have that story a few years ago where the United States was listening in on Merkel's phone in Germany?
Oh, yes, that's massive. The massive NSA
surveillance. So we'd like to say hi to all the listeners who weren't really listeners.
And then, of course, there was Dean Skelos and his son.
Yes.
And saying, I can't be talking about anything. I always have the feeling Preet Bharara is listening to phone calls. And Preet Bharara, when he came in and talked to us, said, like this one. That was pretty funny.
Well, the topic came up. There was a round one of the GOP town hall meetings. There's another round tonight. And Ted Cruz argued the company cannot defy the legal process. He said, anytime you're dealing with issues of security and civil liberties, you got to balance them both. I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can protect ourselves from terrorism and also protect our civil rights. A fairly vague response.
I would think so.
Marco Rubio said there has to be a way to deal with this issue, continues to protect the privacy of Americans, but creates some process by which law enforcement and intelligence agencies could access encrypted information. A fairly vague response.
Not necessarily. We know where he's going. He gets to be president of the United States, and he has tipped his hand. Which is, yeah.
But Rubio said, however, the company will end up having to comply with the order.
Exactly.
Ben Carson, when they woke him up, said, Americans have to get over their distrust of the government. Really? And how is that going to happen?
Not only that, but the right-wingers who are likely to be at stake here in terms of these primaries aren't going to like that. You know, their whole thing is a well-regulated militia is there to take on the government. Don't you see? Mm-hmm.
I do see. Mm-hmm. And there's. Did you guys watch the town hall last night?
No, I chose to sleep.
Well, Cruz basically said, sue me. Hey, Trump, I'm begging you to sue me. And so does Trump call his bluff?
Nah.
No. I love that he sent him a cease and desist order, though. I would like to have read that. Cruz was laughing about it.
I think the whole thing is a riot. I mean, look, Trump is ahead because he's different and he's on TV. I think TV is the great legitimizer of American people.
It's another presidential race. Each party is eating their own.
Yeah, and there are more Republicans.
More at the table.
Yeah, there are more at the table. The buffet is quite a bit larger.
Yes.
We discussed this yesterday, Rosemary, and I know that you may or may not have your hat in the Hillary Clinton ring. I would suspect you might. Nevada, dead heat at this point.
Dead heat.
I am disappointed in that. I think that Bernie's definitely hurting, and I think that is bad for the whole future. I think a Trump-Sanders race would result in a Trump win, especially if Bloomberg came in, which he has said he would do. I don't understand it. I don't like it.
Well, that's interesting because
I don't think he's coming.
He said he'd be willing to spend up to $1 billion of his own money.
If Sanders was the nominee, he would come in.
He would be, without question, I've been saying this from the beginning. The Times basically said it yesterday in their polling. He would be a spoiler, and he would take more votes away from the Democrats than he would from the Republicans. I always knew that.
You're absolutely right. And there was a CNN poll. They released it yesterday. Michael Bloomberg has a very slim chance of winning. This is from Tom LoBianco at CNN. Michael Bloomberg has a very slim chance of winning the presidency should he declare a bid, but he could cost Bernie Sanders in the White House in a hypothetical three-way matchup. A USA Today Suffolk University poll released yesterday found Trump slightly edging out Sanders in a head-to-head match, 44-43, within the poll's margin of error, by the way. But if the former New York City mayor entered the race, he would likely siphon off almost twice as many Sanders supporters as Trump backers.
Well, I think Rosemary makes a very good point. We don't agree on who we're supporting. But I think she makes a valid point, which is in this particular election, you really have to worry about if Hillary is not the candidate pulling on the older, the middle class, the this or that, that this election might really go to Trump. I think that's a very good point.
Because Trump has already begun calling Sanders the communist. Trump is really vulnerable on some issues. For example, his plan is totally pie in the sky.
Which plan?
Name any of them. Free college tuition. Who's paying for that? How's that getting through Congress? Universal health care. Great idea. Hillary had it back in the 90s. Didn't work then. Won't work now. Who's going to pay for it? His plan is ephemeral. And I'm glad that
young... You're talking about
Bernie? I'm talking about Bernie. And I think that makes him really susceptible to Donald Trump, who will talk about Bernie talks a good game, but he can't make it happen. He's never really made anything much happen in Congress. I think it's a disaster. It's the one way that the Democrats in this crazy election season could have said, okay, we don't want to win. It's ours to lose. Here you go, Republicans, you take it.
Well, I'm not sure it is theirs to lose, but remember, on this program, months and months ago, everybody at this table, everybody around the country who are talking heads or writing in papers said Trump has no chance of winning nomination.
That's
except
true.
Alan, by the way, who said Trump does have a chance. And now all of those same people are saying Trump does not have a chance to win the election. And I think everybody said the same thing about Bernie. And now everybody says, well, you know what? Maybe Bernie does have a chance to
win this
nomination.
Well, in the beginning, I have to correct the record a little bit. In the very beginning, I thought Trump had no chance. But as soon as he began to show his stuff, I said, hey, this guy could be the president of the United States. I still say that, and I still think it.
I've only lately begun to worry about it. And it's partly it's because of Sanders' success that I see the two of them as very much the same, tapping into anger,
anti-establishment
painting. Here's a man who's older than and has been in government longer than Hillary, and yet he's successfully painted her as the establishment. He's the one talking pie in the sky, just like Trump, and that's having this huge resounding resonance in the community.
So let me ask you this question. Of the two, now...
What two?
Of Sanders and Trump. Now, let's just preface this by saying, if Sanders is within 5 or 6 in South Carolina and then miraculously wins Nevada, then I think everybody has to say, well, he's got a shot to win this.
I've always said if he wins in South Carolina, then
well, I don't think he'll win in South
me.
Carolina.
He will. Yeah,
no, but if he's close and then he does win Nevada, my point is, of the two, say they are both amazing long shots and they both are the candidates. Who wins that race?
Wow. I have to get a Saratoga expert in here to bet on that. That's major long shots. I think Trump would win. We've seen how successful he is as a campaigner, and he's already shown his hand on this. Sanders is the communist. That's what he calls him. And that will ring true in a whole lot of states. In fact, on the internet now, they've been running these horrible maps of the United States from like 1972, McGovern, it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, if it's Trump Sanders, I think Trump would win, but not necessarily because Trump is Trump, but maybe because Trump isn't Obama or a Democrat.
Carla checked in and said maybe it's Bloomberg's goal to take votes away from others. If he really wanted to be president, he would not wait this long. He can't win. The Times piece the other day made it clear he can't win.
No independent has ever won a presidential election in the United States, including Teddy Roosevelt, who was an extremely popular two-term president when he ran as an independent.
So
it's just historically not precedented.
Bloomberg's a good businessman. Why sink $1 billion of your own money in if you can't win?
You're 74 years old. You have more money than anybody in the world. $1 million is $5 to what it is to anybody else. And you say, okay, I'm not going to live forever. I want to be president. I'll try.
So this won't happen.
But I don't think it'll happen because I don't think he's a smart man. I don't think he thinks he can win.
Okay, fair enough.
There'd have to be some calamitous political development on either side of the aisle for him to get in the race.
This is the year for that to happen, however.
Oh, it's quite possible.
It's crazy, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's only February.
roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. We'll take a short break and be right back. Hello, everyone. It's the roundtable. It's the panel. It is 10 minutes before 10 o'clock. It is a Thursday. Ray is in for Joe. Alan Chartok is here. He is full of it today, in a good way. Stu Shinsky of the Poughkeepsie Journal and Rosemary Armeo, your email letters are at roundtable@wamc.org.
We're full of it, too, just for the record, yes.
But not Rosemary. She's so famous that I think she's now a bomb.
I made her everything she is.
It's Rosemary's world. We just live in it.
Exactly. Please. She's like Sinatra. Doobie, doobie. You're not a Sinatra fan, though, are you? You're like Perry Como.
I feel bad that I'm not.
That's appalling, by the way.
I know. You've told me that many times. You've told me you thought less of me just knowing
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
I know it.
Exactly. Yeah. Any email, Alan, before we move on?
Oh, there's plenty.
Oh.
There's plenty. Catherine says, Dear Roundtable, did you see the article in the New York Times a few days ago which cited studies by liberal economists that said his plans for free college tuition, his health plan, et cetera, were unworkable and hugely expensive? I love Bernie, but he's not electable. And if by some fluke he were elected, he couldn't get his policies past the Senate. And if by more flukes than there are in the sea, he did, They would bankrupt the country. That's from Catherine. Let me tell you, I love this letter, and I'm going to tell you why. Because she makes reference to the flukes in the sea. How many people realize that a fluke is a fish?
I caught one once on Long Island Sound.
That's right. And they go on Fire Island, where I grew up. There would be Lou Hess. He would put his... He had a store called...
Gone off the rails.
Pulling them in.
You know
welcome
that,
back.
Right? You know that.
And this one's not my fault.
And he would surf cast every morning going for fluke. More? You want more?
Whatever.
Okay.
We'll just flounder for a little while longer.
Oh, no. Fish ponds.
Try a different pike.
Yeah, why don't you just clam up?
Steven, I like it. Blowfish.
Stop that.
I don't think I stayed away long enough.
It's a whale of a show, folks.
Steven says, for your information, according to a Real Clear Politics poll, Sanders does much better than Trump in a national poll than Hillary now because they've been. Look, I'm a Bernie fan, but they've been after Hillary from day one, assuming she was going to be the candidate. They'd love it if Bernie were the candidate. That's true.
They've said that in every debate.
Yeah. Well, you know, this New York Times, this USA Today Suffolk University poll. And again, you know, it was of 1,000 likely voters. But it said Trump edges Sanders in a head-to-head 44-43. That's not a slam dunk.
That's within the margin of error. Yeah. But isn't that with Bloomberg in the race? That poll has put Bloomberg in the race.
No, this is without Bloomberg.
Ah, interesting.
And they haven't. No, that's true. But they haven't started on Sanders yet. That's the point. They're going to show him, look, the FBI files. Yeah. They're going to get the FBI files. They're going to find out he belonged to YPSL, Young Socialist League, and they're going to find out things like
that. You don't need the FBI file to know that. That's already out there.
No, they're going to find it. It's one thing when you say it's out there. It's another thing when you show it out there. Look, we're going to have a resurgence of McCarthyism in this country. Mary says, Rosemary, come on.
Yeah, Rosemary.
Three explanation points. You are supposed to be educated. Please tell me that you know the difference between communism and social democracy.
Okay. I do. I do, but many people do not, and that is the problem.
Yeah, it is.
You weren't actually calling him a communist.
I was not. I was saying the Republicans are already calling him the communist.
Yeah, I hate it when people make up stuff that you allegedly said, that I allegedly said, that I know I didn't say. happens regularly. Okay.
I love when people also say, you're supposedly educated.
Yeah, it's not nice.
Yeah.
You need to be nice.
Alan has a rule. This is one thing I really like about the show, that you can say an argument is stupid. You can say this thinking is stupid, but you don't call someone stupid.
Yeah, on the air.
No, I agree with that.
And that's good.
And, back in the newsroom, he'll
do that. He'll call you worse.
Yeah.
Bill says, Rosemary must have taken off so she could memorize Hillary talking points about Bernie Sanders.
I have long, long been a supporter of Hillary. I don't need to memorize anything.
She failed to mention that his main point is that Americans have to actively participate in the process if they want the changes he espouses.
Okay. Another reason I have a real loss of faith that anything will happen with him.
And Chris says, I think it's wrong to compare Trump's policies to Sanders' policies. Sanders' proposals can certainly be characterized as unrealistic, but Trump's ideas are not even wrong. Also, I can't say, you know, sarcasm.
What? They're not even
wrong.
Well,
the problem
right?
is that sarcasm in the printed word is very hard to know. You know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Maybe he means, you know, there's not even any substance to Trump's ideas.
Also, I can't say who would win in the general matchup between Trump and Sanders, but keep in mind, Trump's negatives are among the general population are really dire. I'm doing three things here.
That's good. You're doing great.
Okay. thank you for that. Is it somewhat condescending?
Affirmation. No, my friend.
You know that Rex recently wrote his weekly column in the... Rex Smith, that is, in the Times Union, which shows him standing up there, you know, with his hands on his hips. You know that column he writes?
No.
Every week, it's very attractive.
Is that near the High Rosen cartoon?
He called me short.
Oh, my God.
He said, I'm a short celebrity. He said, well,
you're famous for that,
we're
Alan.
Short
you,
on
you,
celebrity.
Oh, but I know short what he, on celebrity.
But I know what he meant.
But I'm bummed.
I know what he meant. I do.
Well, I mean, Paul Williams was famous. He was a little guy, right?
Who's that?
Paul Williams.
Oh, no, I remember him.
Singer.
Yeah, okay.
About 3 feet tall.
Yeah, well,
Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's right for you to go along with this kind of thing, Raymond.
You brought it up.
Yeah, well.
Oh, look at the time.
Oh, what is
it? No, let's read another email and then get out.
Does anyone else think, good morning, Roundtable.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Does anyone else think that the HRC got a little bit of a reprieve from the almost constant attention towards the negative aspects of her campaign? That's HRC is Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Rodham Clinton. Right. Yeah.
No abbreviations out there. No mention of getting a peek at her transcripts of speeches to Wall Street, aside from Carl Bernstein making calls for their release. The State Department email releases made on a weekend, which media coverage can have a little impact. And now the focus on Scalia's replacement. Okay.
So
and
maybe she killed him in order to get a reprieve on the transcripts, for heaven's sakes.
I thought Leonard Nimoy did that.
In search of.
And somebody, RWS, says, I bet Apple will let the FBI into the phone, but also require the FBI to go down this huge judicial ruse, which will conceal the true cooperation. Could be. Bonnie says.
Yeah.
Bonnie constantly writes.
Yeah, hi, Bonnie.
And we appreciate that. A panel, other than being a New York City born and Jewish, please enumerate the attractive points drawing votes from Sanders towards Bloomberg.
I think that would be a great thing for you to talk about here, Alan. I'll give you 20 seconds.
No, thank you.
Actually, they're both New York City born and Jewish, Bloomberg and Sanders.
Catherine says.
I thought that was a Vermont accent.
Actually, no, Bloomberg, I'm not sure if he was born in New York City. I don't think he was, actually. My apologies on that.
Did any of you see the article in the New York Times a few days ago which cited studies by liberal economists that said his plans for free college tuition as well were unworkable and usually expensive?
Yes.
We've already mentioned that.
Yes.
Trump versus Sanders, Zach in Albany says, Sanders is running on a message of hope, Trump on a message of hate. I have to believe that hope would win. If it doesn't, America doesn't deserve
it. Well, hope and change seem to do okay.
As Sarah Palin says, how about hope and change?
I never like it when somebody said we deserve what we get. What, we deserve Richard Nixon? We deserve, you know, people like that?
We voted him in.
Well, you know what?
I didn't vote him in.
We did, collectively. You're an American.
Then why should,
you did it.
Why should you suffer, or somebody who can't get food stamps suffer, because the middle class in this country made an error? Don't you see?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're done.